My name is Bernard Guerra, and I'm your host of the Apartment Investor Series podcast, where I provide an in-the-trenches look at the multifamily real estate market. I have been fortunate for nearly 25 years as a broker to learn from and witness what super successful apartment investors have been doing with their investment properties. This podcast highlights how the experts are maximizing their multifamily investing. Let's get started. Good afternoon. We're here with Bob Zink talking all things DST. Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Bernard. How are you?
Great, great. And before we get started, I know you've got a disclaimer. So can you disclaim what you need to and then we'll get started?
Sure. Need to let everyone know that DSTs are a security and need to be sold through licensed securities brokers and firms. So I'm a securities broker and operating through Whitehall Parker, who's then licensed under Emerson. So it is a security, and as such, we have to disclose that there's a possible loss of money like owning anything else, but you do want everybody to know it's a security.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Bob. Well, DSTs, or Delaware Statutory Trusts, deals have been a hot topic in real estate as of late, the last few years. Longer for you, but newer for me and some of my clients, but definitely something that my clients have been interested in. So, Bob, if you could just start general, what are DSTs? And just give us the basic rundown.
Sure. DST stands for Delaware Statutory Trust, and a lot of entities, corporations, limited partnerships were formed in Delaware because that's a state where the legal process of getting these ownership forms processed and formed is relatively inexpensive and easy. So Delaware focuses on making it easy to start a corporation, or in this case, a trust to set up to own real estate. So it's just a form of real estate. So it's a means by where an investor can own a part of an institutional quality real estate. It might be a $100 or $200 million apartment house in Dallas, Texas, for example, and you would own that if you invested in it, often through a 1031 with 50 of your closest friends, perhaps. But
got it. So basically, you own a fractional interest in a deal. Is that how it works?
That's correct. You own a fractional interest in a piece of property, typically because of the size of a DSTs can be very large. They could be several hundred million dollars. The previous ownership form was the, you know, tenant in common, and that was limited by the number of investors and had several difficult traits. And so when the DST structure came about, they kind of got away with the difficult, such as limited number of investors and being on the loan and et cetera. So the Delaware Statutory Trust is much more flexible and user-friendly for the investors, and in fairness to the sponsor. So.
Great. So my understanding is that there's a sponsor who they're the group that are responsible for buying the property in the first place.
Correct.
And then they offer fractional interest through the DST vehicle. Is that the layman's terms? Is that correct?
Yes.
So can anyone buy into a DST?
The only qualification would be in that it's a security. An investor needs to be accredited, which means that they have a minimum net worth of $1 million, excluding their home or their personal residence. Other than that, anyone could own a DST.
I'm imagining that's because the sponsors want individuals who are, seasoned investors, perhaps?
Well, they want seasoned investors, but it's also a securities qualifications. They want someone that has enough net worth to understand what it is they're buying into.
Got it. So a few of my clients have sold their apartment buildings, and rather than do a 1031 exchange like they had done in the past through other commercial real estate or investment properties like the apartment buildings, they ended up did a 1031 exchange into the DST. And for them, it seems to be a good fit for people who want another option for a 1031 exchange. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, I think it's people that, like your clients, apartment owners that have acquired apartments, exchanged up for a number of years and have now gotten to a point in their life that they don't want to be involved in the real estate. Even if your property manager manages it, you still have calls of, well, how do we get rid of this tenant? How do we fix this roof? What's going on? Sometimes it's a owner who wants to get out of a state that isn't particularly landlord friendly, or that maybe the market is not growing very fast in your market. So DSTs will typically be located in fast-growing, landlord-friendly markets. So the DST sponsor will go out and find the property, do the due diligence on it, buy it, get a loan on it, and then when investors sold, that property can be exchanged into. And because it's closed and they have a loan on it, there's no worry about, well, what if it doesn't close? They already own it. So it takes a lot of the worry and consternation out of the process. So it's often been said that it's all the advantages of actively owning real estate without the day-to-day management responsibilities. So you get your share of appreciation, depreciation, tax benefits, cash flow. Everything's the same as if you owned a 20-unit apartment house with two of your friends and each had a third of the benefits. Now you would get maybe 2% of the benefits because there's 40 or 50 owners. But you would own an institutional quality apartment house or self-storage building in a fast-growing market.
Right, and they're not just limited to apartment buildings or self-storage. Is it all kinds of types of real estate, investment real estate?
Yes, and the larger DST providers are going to focus on what's has the safest and most rapid appreciation in the market, which today is typically medical office building, self-storage, manufactured housing, apartments, Amazon buildings, things that are appreciating rapidly and typically full in this market. So you wouldn't find an office building, for example, because there's too much uncertainty in that specific asset class today.
So the sponsors are the ones going out and finding the deals and they're vetting things out and hitting their criteria of having a safe investment for investors?
Correct. Another advantage is that an investor could go into three or four into multiple DSTs. So
you can do an
apartment house in Texas and self-storage in Tennessee, a multifamily project, or a manufactured housing project in Florida. So it's a way to be in multiple assets and multiple sponsors and be in multiple markets. So it's a great diversity tool.
Yeah, I've seen that with some of my clients where they sold 20 to 60 unit buildings in Oregon and maybe had one building and then bought into multiple DSTs for that reason, that they were able to go from one asset in one state to diversify maybe three or four different assets in different states.
Correct. And I found that investors like that, especially as they get older, having a lot of wealth in one particular product in one particular market. They can end in multiple properties, multiple markets, perhaps multiple asset classes is a great way to diversify as one gets older and doesn't have the day-to-day involvement of management. And so it's a great risk management tool.
Right, right. So tell me about, so sounds like the rewards are, it's like normal real estate ownership and all the benefits that come with owning real estate.
Yes, it's all the benefits of owning real estate by yourself without the day-to-day management responsibilities.
Got it. I've also seen, it sounds like the properties that the sponsors are buying they sound like they're higher quality, maybe newer properties. Is that safe to say?
Yes, they'll be newer properties. Typically, there's very little value add. That's not what this is about typically. And so it's an institutional quality risk, something the average investor wouldn't be able to buy on their own or even with two or three partners. It's often a property that's $80, $90 million and up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's institutional. One of the reasons that they just don't want day-to-day, that they buy newer properties, they don't want the day-to-day hassles that come with new roof or refurbishing something. And the DST forbids capital calls. So unlike the tenant and common structure where a roof goes off or a big parking lot project or HVAC issue and you get a notice from your managing sponsor, well, your share of this is $25,000. That's forbidden in the DST structure. So no cash call surprises.
So they've got to buy it right up front and buy something newer.
Yes. And as such, they set up significant reserves. So if something did happen, the ownership trust has the reserves to take care of that issue.
Yeah, I had a client. Yeah.
Upon sale, of course, those reserves belong to the investor. So upon sale, whatever reserves are there go back pro rata to the investors.
Got it. Yeah, I had a client tell me that they traded their 40 units that were 40, 50-year-old buildings in the rehab cycle and various stages of the rehab cycle for traded that out of that system and moved into a newer, more expensive, but a newer system where they didn't have to worry about the capital expenditures because the properties were newer. So they had institutional property and institutional management, and they were in a different system, which was perfect for this client's goals.
Yeah, and I found, Bernard, that typically as investors get older, it becomes more preservation of equity.
Mm.
You know, I've made a significant amount of money and equity. I just want to not get any calls, no hassles, and get checks every month. Although today it's typically direct deposit, but whatever an investor would prefer. So it's a great preservation tool. And then it's also a wonderful, estate building. Maybe a couple have three children.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Buy three DSTs and leave one to each of the three children. Because oftentimes, young people today do not want to manage mom and dad's 40-unit apartment house. They've got their own life, kids, things, and doing what dad did with that apartment house isn't in their plan often. So now they have something that's taken care of, and they don't have to. And, of course, the same step-up in basis that is in our real estate world today applies to DSTs upon the demise of the parents in this example.
Yeah, that estate planning angle makes a lot of sense. And even the wealth preservation. I mean, we're hearing, when you hear news about banks being in trouble in 2023, risk takes on a new connotation when you're in the wealth preservation mode and want to make sure you're not losing your assets.
Yeah, kind of an example of that. About a year ago, I had a lady who sold a significant apartment house. She, the money was probably 60% of her net worth, and she traded into an Amazon building in Indianapolis, self-storage in the southeast, and an apartment house in Tennessee. And she said, well, Bob, what happens if all three of these properties go broke or go upside down? And we'll call her Judy. I said, well, Judy, if those three properties in those three markets all go upside down, then the country probably went upside down and we've gone back to starting over or farming or raising rabbits or something.
It's, right.
It's certainly possible, but it would be unlikely. So it's a great way to spread those things out and diversify one's assets across different markets and different asset classes.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I'm sure no investment discussion will be proper without talking about the risks. What are the risks of the DSTs?
It's real estate, so something could happen in that market. You know, that's always a risk. I would say that the negatives that people run into that bother them initially is you don't have a vote. You have no say in what happens to this property. Typically, I'll ask people, well, do you own any stock? And they say, well, of course, I own lots of stock. Well, what's your vote in your stock? What kind of vote do you have in your, you know, Ford Motor Company stock or whatever? They say, well, I don't have a vote. Well, is that okay? And once they think about it, they're okay with that. The other issue is it's unlike stock. It's not liquid. Can't just call up your favorite broker. If it happened to be Bob Zink, you can't call me and say, sell it today. I need my money in a week. I've only had out of hundreds of these investments over time, two people that needed their money, because that's typically not an issue as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
One was a very contentious divorce, and the other one was an uninsured illness of a grandchild. And I went to the sponsors of that DST, got the list of owners, and sold that interest to an existing owner in that DST. So it's saleable, but one has to find someone to buy it.
And so when you say it's not liquid, what's a typical holding period for them? The investors hold it for a certain cycle or period?
Yeah, it's typically been kind of 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
In the multifamily sector, because rents are going up rapidly, it's been more like 4 or 5. But I think one should plan on 5 to 7 years. And if you're in an exchange and, Bernard sold your apartment house and you say, well, I might need $100,000, maybe you keep that in front. Keep $100,000 and pay the little bit of tax on that portion. Put that away if you needed liquidity. Otherwise, if there's an emergency, get it sold typically to an investor in that transaction, especially if focus on the larger DST providers that have been around a long time and have an institutional quality property. There'll be somebody else in that DST typically that'll buy that interest, but in fairness, it almost never happens.
Right. So basically, you don't have control when you buy it. You're turning it over to the sponsor and their management team, their institutional management team. You hold for 5 to 7 years. And at that point, does the sponsor sell the property and then you're in a potential 1031 or cash out situation then?
Yeah. So you would get a notice from the sponsor that we've accepted an offer on your apartment house in Dallas, Texas. It'll be closing in 60 days, and they'll ask you, do you want the money sent to your accommodator or to you? But it'd be just like selling any other property. The option would be up to the investors. I've found that almost all investors that have gone through this, they're happy with no involvement and getting checks every month, so they turn around and do it again. But the option would be totally up to the investors.
And your role, you're the broker for DSTs?
Correct.
Tell us about your role.
I'm a broker through DST. Just like my example earlier of Ford Motor stock, you can't call up Ford Motor and buy that stock. You have to call your broker. So you would call me and I would say, this is what's available today in these markets. Some people don't like a specific market or a specific asset class, so we find them something else. But the nice thing about the DST market and the larger providers, there's almost always multiple options available, and I would show them to you and help you find one or several if you've got significant amount of equity to go into. And that cost of the brokership is all in the deal. The only additional costs here are your accommodator fee, which, of course, are nominal, as you know.
Right. Well, and if we get a little bit more in the details here, what I've seen is a couple things out of the 1031 from my world that it's a great option for sellers of apartment buildings. They can either do a 1031 or pay taxes or do a DST. The other thing I think it's seemed like a great option was if they had, they did a 1031 exchange, but only had a couple hundred thousand or a little bit left over. They can put that into a DST. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a great place for that remaining dollars that you, you know, got 80% of it placed and had $200,000-$300,000 left over. And the minimums are small; they're typically $100,000 in most deals, mm-hmm. so that's usually not a problem. It's also a great backstop if that, you know, occasionally in today's market, especially, a loan falls apart. So it's now day 40, and the property that was identified is no longer available, or the loan that was going to be provided falls through or is not on acceptable terms. So in a DST, we can get something identified in a matter of a day or two at most, depending on, you know, what it is and where it is, but very short period of time. And of course, they already own it. The due diligence is done, management's in place. So it's not something that you need to check out. A couple of years ago, I had an older investor who was selling an apartment house that he'd built and managed for 25 years, putting him into an apartment house in Nashville, Tennessee. And he said, "Bob, should we go look at it?" And I said, "Joe, you know, this is Cantor Fitzgerald. They own Newmark Frank. What are we going to see that Cantor Fitzgerald didn't see, that Newmark Frank didn't see, the management company, the environmental company? What are we going to see that they didn't see?"
Yeah. He says,
"But if you want to write off a trip to Dollywood or Elvis's mansion, or something, you can go to Nashville." And he thought about it for a couple of minutes and said, "I don't want to see Dollywood."
Right.
Certainly, one wanted to go see it and write off that trip or just whatever. But chances are you're not going to see anything they didn't.
Yeah.
All of it is delivered in a private placement memorandum. So the appraisal, the due diligence, the environmental report, all of those things are in a book that you can study and read and say, "Well, yeah, I guess I'm comfortable with this," or "I don't like that market." But it's a great option for a lot of people, especially as we get older.
Yeah, the wealth preservation with low, what seems to be really low risk, seems like a great option for, especially in this changing world where legislation is changing, like, for example, in Oregon, as we know, and different, you know, you've got different rehab stuff that is needed on properties. And that might be something that somebody doesn't want to take on when it's getting harder and harder to find people to do the work, say, on roofing or siding or projects. So it sounds like a bunch of different, it could work for a bunch of different kinds of sellers and buyers.
Yeah, as we get older, even just a call that have a tenant we can't get out or professionally managed, there's still hassles. Recently, I was referred to an older doctor, a retired doctor in his early 80s, and he was referred by someone that told him all about it, and he just wanted to get comfortable with me and my broker, and he said, "I'm going to do just what the gentleman that referred me to you did, you know." But he said, "Now that I've talked to you about it, I want you to know that I'm unhappy with you, Mr. Zink." I said, "Well, we've only talked for 5 or 6 minutes. How can you already be unhappy with me?" He says, "Well, I've hated my apartment house and dealing with a property manager, and my wife's upset about half the time because I'm talking about it."
Right.
"And I don't know why you didn't call me 10 years ago and get this done." I said, "Well, doctor, I didn't know you 10 years ago, and obviously I'm not working hard enough. I apologize."
Right.
But it is a great option for that time
that
people get tired of that day-to-day involvement. Because even with a professional property manager, there's decisions and issues and hassles. Especially in states like the one, Oregon, Washington, California, where the politics are not favorable to landlords.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time today, Bob. That's really helpful. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, if you have any questions or anything you'd like to know or would like information from one of the sponsors or a specific property, just send me a text or call me at Roberts Inc. at 503-880-6968.
Great, Bob. Well, thanks for your time today. Have a great afternoon, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Bernard. You have a great day.
You too. Okay, thank you very much for listening. If you like this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to our podcast where we release new episodes weekly. If you want more information about the multifamily market, go to my firm's website, josephbernard.net, click on the Contact Us page, and sign up for our apartment e-newsletter. As a bonus for listening to this podcast, I will answer any apartment investing questions you may have via email at bgarrett@josephbernard.net. That is bgehret@josephbernard.net.